Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
It's okay, because it's a birthday Wednesday, Jeffrey. March 11th. Happy 311 Day, by the way, but you've heard that never in your life.
Never.
11, of course, the band from... Are they from California?
No idea. Probably.
Okay. Anyway, wow, what a great screeching halt to this pod. Starting us off hot here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Will, Jeff, happy to be here, both of us, on a Wednesday. A little quick action back from our last pod on Friday. This is what happens when lifestyles change, Jeff, but we make it happen for the fans, for the pod, for each other. And we're here on this bright and early Wednesday morning. All because of Jeffrey. Early bird gets the worm, Jeff. I know you're excited to be here, but how excited are you? How excited are you to be here?
No, I mean, carrying off last episode's momentum, all that hot fire Disney tech, we're going to keep that train a rolling. I'm excited to be here in the doldrums of the NFL season, but it's nice. You don't put your birthday in the season. You put it in the doldrums, give you something to look forward to, and as you were saying pre-show, March birthdays are the best, so just trying to live the 311 lifestyle.
Shout out to Mom and Dad Hutchins, I guess, just letting you kind of have the doldrums for the birthday, not in the middle of the NFL season. Good planning on that.
Oh, yeah, pre-planned.
Jeff, we were talking about how it's the doldrums. Not a lot of stuff. Content going to be hard, so I went back to last year's rundown and did a copy-paste job just to see – just to see exactly what we talked about last year. And it's kind of funny because I kept two bullet points. One of them was Fortnite grind, which is interesting because I don't think I played it at all last year, except for maybe like a month. And guess what? I must love playing Fortnite in March because I'm doing that again right now. I saw Scott on the other day. I saw Derek and Nick on the other day. So I just hopped on for a little bit. And then Chong came on. And then yesterday... played with Tommy Bill. So, back on it for a little bit. It's still really weird, and I actually don't really like it that much, but something about,
when you squad up.
It's just, there's, like, bots in all these games now. You don't even know, like...
What? Tell me about it. Tell me, give me an update. Give me like, the key highlights of what's changed. Last I left, there were the golf carts and... Yeah, other weird things happening with the gameplay. So.
There's still a lot of, there's like boats and stuff that I don't use. But like the main thing now is there's like AI enemies. There's like random henchmen that'll just like be in their little secret hideouts that you can shoot and get little stuff from and infiltrate their hideouts during the match. Remember how like Far Cry, a la Far Cry, you would take away outposts, right, in Far Cry?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Great game. Great game.
Yeah, so it's kind of similar. It's just in the middle of the match, you can just go to these hideouts and infiltrate. And then I guess I've been playing with Scotty a little bit, and there'll be enemies like that you think are other players, and he'll be like, "Oh no, that was just a bot." And it's like, how do you know? It's like they'll still have names like Starfish Destroyer 81, and he'll be like, "No, that's just a bot." I'm like, how do you know? He's like, "Oh, because." When they shoot you, they just like stand there and shoot you. Like they don't even build, they don't jump around, they just like stand at you, like and just kind of shoot one at a time. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's kind of confusing. It actually, at some points, the game is kind of easier because half the time the people are either really bad or I guess they're just bots. I was playing with Tommy and he's like, oh yeah, that was an iPhone user. And I'm like, oh my god, like, oh, it's like,
oh no,
what happened? Like, I don't know. I guess it's just and the microtransactions are just shoved down your face. You're like, it takes forever to load up the game because you load it up and it shows you the movies that show you the battle pass. You skip through that and it's like only 3 days left for this outfit. Okay, sounds good. And did you know that when you buy the battle pass, you get this? And it's like, oh my god. And then in order to get to the game, there's like this lobby and you can still see all the stuff that comes with it if you get the battle pass. There's like you get Deadpool if you get the battle pass, and It shows you that you should totally get them because you can't unlock this certain area of the lobby. It's just a lot of microtransactions and a lot of stuff happening at the screen. You know, sometimes you just want to squat up and shoot some fools.
Whew. I hear you. I think, you know, my only two comments would be I would be mistaken for a bot probably 95% of the time. Just my lack of prowess in the building game. But I can kind of see it being, at least for me, there, like, and I don't, obviously I haven't played, so you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Like, they're definitely doldrums, like, mid-game, where it would be kind of cool to, like, all right, I know we need gear. Let's go storm this place and kill these bots and get their stuff. And then, yeah, that could improve our loadout. That could then help towards the next battle kind
of
thing.
Maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point of it. I don't know. I'd have to talk to our resident pro, Scott, on that one. But I see your point on that one. That sounds... Maybe that's the reason for it. I did it a couple times.
Yeah.
There you go. See, Jeff? That's why we need you to squat up instead of whatever you're doing whenever you're on Xbox. I don't know. I think you're on HBO. I'm not really sure.
Probably a lot of Showtime and maybe the occasional Rocket League single player season.
Oh, wow. Rocket League. What a transition. So. They don't call him the best in the biz for this reason. Big matchup in the Rocket League atmosphere, the ethos, if you will. Battle of the Century being built up for possibly March 21st, Saturday, next Saturday. C-Ball versus Chong. I mean, this has been a pent-up battle for years in the making. I don't know if you've been following on Instagram, but there have been some talks and taggings of people in it. Are you aware of this?
I haven't seen anything on Instagram necessarily, but I've definitely been pushing it at soccer every week since the idea was kind of incepted maybe a couple weeks ago after C-Ball posted – he posted like an in-game video. And I was like, wow, you know, I play Rocket League a little bit. And I was like, wow, C-Ball's actually, you know, pretty good. I mean, it makes sense. He plays video games all day, so he should be pretty good. But then Chong was like, dude, I'll smoke him. I'll beat him. And I was like, oh, let's set it up. Let's get it going. Let's get him on the Twitch channel. He just – C-Ball just got a random like $1,000 donation the other day. I was like, if you can get a G for that, I mean, let's get the matchup of the century, Chong Wei versus C-Ball. It's gonna be interesting. I don't know if it's gonna be like how are they gonna. I don't know how they're gonna do it. I don't know the setup. Is it gonna be 1v1 because 1v1 Rocket League is tough. I'll be intrigued to see.
Yeah, they said they're just, you know, kind of going back and forth on Instagram trying to name a day and time. And then C-Ball goes, name a day and time. We haven't really played yet because I think Chong actually has a life. So a little throwing shade on himself because C-Ball apparently does not have a life. And yeah, they were talking about what structure. Chong's throwing out the rules. What structure? Do we do like tennis, like a round one equals a best of five, a.k.a. best of three win, first three wins? And then we do first to win three rounds. He's like tagging everybody on this. And then they said it has to be on Twitch. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. Very excited. So Chong coming out hot, thinking he has what it takes. So I guess the odds might be because of the cockiness. I don't know how I'd feel about the odds. I think the views would be through the roof. Absolutely through the roof. So I definitely want to get this going. We're promoting it here. C-Ball versus Chong, Rocket League. It's going to be a battle of the century, folks.
Oh, yeah. You thought, you know, Conor McGregor fight? We're big. I mean, let's get C-Ball versus Chong, Rocket League, RC cars playing soccer. I mean, you got to establish these rules up front because you can't just go into like a race and, you know, figure it out on the fly. So I appreciate the time and effort that's going into curating this match. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Chong play in a long time. He's another one of those sneaky grinders. He'll be grinding. You know, at odd hours of the day, he was also unemployed for several
years.
I think
it
was just around
world.
A year. So, yeah, but in between those travels, you get a quick, you know, you get a quick couple of Rocket League games in.
But I don't know, did he bring the Xbox on or what? That's
Yeah, I mean, in the backpack, 30% of the weight was just all Xbox.
Oh, wow.
You know, power outlets in Thailand and everything, so.
Jeff, it is... it is birthday season for you. Is there something going on today? This, I mean, it is St. Patty's Day next week. Obviously, you're familiar with that, being so close to your birthday. But is there something going on this weekend in celebration for you? Are you doing anything today? You went in early today. Any specific reasons for that, possibly?
Went in, the early bird gets the worm, you know, got to grind in, grind out. My parents are actually coming today.
Whoa!
So, coronavirus be darned, they're flying out. So I think they're going to hang out. We're going to hang out with Kellen, and then maybe this weekend do a nice dinner. And, you know, when you're of this age and with child, then there's not much else you can do. Maybe we'll get them to watch Kellen for a little bit and go out for a nice nightcap or something like that. But pretty low key. My boss's birthday was actually yesterday. And so normally at Taco Bell, you get like some treats, but I suggested a nice coffee bar, perhaps an iced coffee bar. So I've been kind of holding out and coming in early for that, seeing if they pull through. And if it's just donuts or, you know, a nice puff pastry, then that's what we get into.
So they do birthday treats for every person?
Everyone's birthday.
Wow.
So not for, like, the whole office, but, like, for your department.
So what was it for your boss's birthday?
Yesterday it was fancy baked. They were like little, not like tarts, but they had like croissants with strawberries and like some sort of like custard. I think it was a custard, actually. Hot custard talk. And they were delicious from like some little small bakery out in Santa Ana, Costa Mesa area. So handmade that morning. So it was delicious.
Okay. And you're suggesting an iced coffee bar. All right.
Maybe a biscotti of sorts. I don't know.
All right. So will that be there today? Or like, will that be in the next hour or so?
Yeah, probably, you know, after we, you know, have our heart out.
If only we could have some breaking news on there. I guess we'll have to wait until next week to find out what they decided to bring for Jeffrey and his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
311 day. Jeff, not a lot
on the St. Patty's front, though, we did a St. Patty's celebration this past weekend at the Murphy residence, because it was, I never know the relationships on Shay's side of the family. They get kind of squirrely here and there. So it's Mike's cousin, kind of, I don't know. Or maybe it's Terry's cousin. Okay. Anyways, they were down from Portland, and they actually know Scotty and Armas, because Scotty and Armas visited them in Portland. So Scotty came over, and you know, the whole family came over for a little St. Patty's Day feast with Guinness and, you know, the Irish soda bread and the corned beef and just getting into all the Irish fixings. So, and I had my first Irish car bomb in quite a while. And wow. Whew, that was an experience again.
Funny you should bring this up, actually. Wow. Bring it around back to Fortnite. I was talking to Scotty. We were playing and he's like, I'm like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? He's like, oh, I got some friends coming into town. From Portland, and I'm like, oh, cool, dude, like, whatever, and he's like, yeah, he's like, so I'm gonna hang out with them, and he said they're actually gonna go stay with Mike and Terry, and I was like, what? So I'm like, I was like, okay, cool, and then, like, 5 minutes passed by, and I was like, wait, Mike and Terry, I was like, wait, Shay's parents? He's like, oh, yeah, they're like, you know, they're like related to them or whatever, and I was like, so are Jeff and Shay gonna be with you too? Or and he's like, oh yeah, they'll probably be there, but you know. I was like, okay.
Cool, dude. Cool. That's fine, dude. That's fine. I'll give him a little bit of zing today at lunch. I think we're doing a little boils oil lunch, so we'll see what happens with that.
And then 311, Omaha, Nebraska. There you go. Never would have guessed that. That's where 311 is from.
Well, they do have a song called Omaha that has some great drumming in it. So.
You would know, Jeff. Not a lot on the NFL news front, but two interesting things that have to do with media, which I think is very funny. I just cleared my throat. I don't think I've ever done that. The first one is 2K Sports and NFL agree on a video game deal starting in 2021. Now, this is huge, because Madden has been the only NFL like simulation game in town for, God, 15 years. since NFL 2K5 was the last one. Now, there's a couple hiccups with that. They can be the only like multi-platform one. So technically, if like Nintendo wanted to make an exclusive NFL game, I think they could. Now that's never bogging the details. The weird thing about this deal though is it's for non-simulation games.
Huh.
So when I first thought about that, I'm like, what? So like an arcade, like NFL Blitz type game, NFL Street. Like, ooh, that'd be the only thing, because EA used to make NFL Street, and they only did that for like 2 or 3 years. So I'm thinking, I don't know if you ever remember, there was this weird game called Backbreaker. It was like this weird physics based football game, no licensing, no way. It was like a very arcadey game, but it was supposed to be like the new. This is God 10 years ago, just like with physics and how ragdoll physics and football tackles and everything. Now I'm wondering if 2K is gonna be like, you know what? You're never gonna give us NFL players. Fine, maybe we'll do an. Oh no, not XFL. No, I was gonna say XFL. An NFL simulation game, but maybe we'll do arcade, hard hitting NFL Blitz style game. Because I'll tell you what. NFL Blitz, that's my jam, and I miss NFL Blitz. There are arcade bars here in Charlotte that, you know, you go and you can play these games for free, and I rock the NFL Blitz. It's like NFL Blitz 2000, you know, Troy Aikman, Jim Harbaugh, you know, the best NFL players at the time. So that's what I'm thinking is going to happen with this. Does this strike any bone? Did you ever play any kind of NFL Blitz, NFL Street, any of these arcadey NFL games? Would that tickle your fancy at all, other than the boring Madden games?
I would be very interested in a NFL Blitz style with updated graphics, new physics, modify the gameplay a little bit, because it was a little too fast paced. I mean, every other play was a Hail Mary. You were just throwing bombs, and people, if you had a kind of a mismatch at the wide receiver position, you could pretty much score all day. But I think I played NFL Street, but I got big into the like soccer Street, because you could do it was mostly like a dribbling and like just destroying people with mags and stuff, and like a small-sided indoor game. So I'm intrigued. 2K, I think they create a great product, especially on the NBA side. So I'll be interested to see what they bring out here for the NFL.
Yeah, true. Nothing big there. Just seeing, getting thoughts so early. It just kind of took the internet by storm, and then until they found out it said non-simulation. And they were like, oh, all right, moving on. Jeff, Mike Murphy. I got to get some Mike Murphy feels on this. The new Rams logos, the hat, the logo. I mean, all in on 100% Ram Nation or what? Because this has been a disaster so far in terms of, you know, just the internet outreach, the reaction. You said so yourself. You thought it was trash. So what do you think's going on here? Is this real? Do you think someone inside leaked it just to be like, oh, thank God, people hate it. We don't need to change it. What do you think's going on here?
I mean, that's a lot of deep speculation. I mean, I'll say on the Papa Murph front, I haven't reached him for comment yet. Mm-hmm. But next time I see him, I'll ask. But I'm sure it didn't increase the likelihood of moving towards 100%, because from far away, you have absolutely no idea what it is. It probably looks like a Chargers hat from 5 feet away. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a sneaky little ploy. Like, there's some internal politics in the Rams organization, and the muckety mucks like the logo and are pushing it forward, and some little schmuck designer's like, no, I'll show them, and then leaks it, and then all this bad outrage, and then they're like, see, so let's just go with the classic logo, or just riff off that a little bit, because SoFi Stadium, I can't imagine you're selling a lot of those things if you're bringing them to market.
Yeah, and I don't think they're changing the uniform, so it's just interesting that. It's just weird because their logo, they were fine. The Chargers were the ones who were moving, you know, cities. So they were the ones who had to come up with the new logo. I understand, you know, you are moving into a new stadium. You're trying to get your seats sold. But I think it was just some of these logos, man, you just wonder who gets paid to do this, to be honest. It's something that you take up tons, you do QA testing with people and focus groups. You have to. You can't just do it yourself and say, all right, this is it, Mr. Les Snead, we're doing it, or whoever is actually in charge of that. So yeah, I think it was internal turmoil. Inner turmoil, I think. Unrest, if you will, in the Los Angeles Rams offices. I think that's what's to blame here for the logo. Jeff, tropes. I haven't done them in a while.
Oops.
There's not a lot either. Again, this, I think once Tom Brady, so March 18th is when it starts, free agency, 1 week from today. Tom Brady's going to be the first big domino. But still not a lot of tropes. I was doing some digging. I tried to find some, and I found a really good one and a couple whatevers. The first one I got, tropes, of course, these happen every offseason. Once we tell you the first one, you'll understand what a trope is when we say it. And the first one is Alvin Kamara. He says his leg was at 75% last season, but now it's 100%. So that's why he was so not performing well last season. Latavius Murray obviously did pretty well in his replace at times. What do you think? Alvin Kamara, he's 100% now.
Well, to play trope on trope action, you know, some players would say, you know, you're always playing hurt. You never a day 100%. So, yeah, I mean, there was something about it, though. There were a couple games where he definitely looked healthier than other games where he just wasn't as explosive. So, I don't know. I think Kamara, if I remember correctly, is coming back into the pool in the ship. So, Chong, I don't think he can hold him anymore. So, it's going to be interesting to see where he lands.
I think it was ATN where they were reading the stats of Eckler and Kamara. And Eckler had like 90 catches for 900 yards. Kamara had like 80 catches for 500 yards. So that should kind of show you maybe the burst wasn't there. Or just a lot more dump-offs maybe to Kamara than to Eckler that just couldn't turn into anything else. So maybe there's some truth to it. He was hurt coming into the season last year, but, you know, it is hindsight. So we'll see if next season will prove to be a little different and where he gets drafted in fantasy.
On that Eckler point.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that was the death nail for Melvin Gordon and the Chargers? You think there's no way he's getting any sort of deal done with the Chargers and he's gone?
I believe so. It wasn't a very big deal. It was only $24 million, but for running backs these days, it's just like, you know, you'll take what you can get since you're running the risk of just never getting paid. And for Eckler, it's different because Eckler was undrafted. He hasn't seen any money yet, so that was huge to him. I just didn't think Melvin was coming back anyway, regardless of, you know, this contract or not. I think he kind of burned his bridges and, you know, he risked it just like Le'Veon Bell did and didn't work out for him. So good luck to you, Melvin. You're a cool dude. Sorry to say. QB Tua Tagovailoa, I think I nailed it, had recent x-rays for his hip. It looks very good and no concerns, Jeffrey. No concerns, even after having his hip torn apart about 5 or 6 months ago. Do you think he slips in the draft? Do you think a team doesn't even care? They're going to draft him anyway.
I think he goes like number two ooh, quarterback ooh, overall. Ooh. Definitely top three.
Yeah.
Top three overall pick. It's a gnarly injury from what it sounded like. I mean, your hip kind of broken, like, it's one of those things where, yeah, you can show no concern in the x-ray, and then you get a couple pile drivers from some 260-pound linebackers. And
from Bam Bam Bigelow.
Off the top rope, a spear versus DDT. You know, controversy breaks out. You never know if there will be concern, but I don't know. I'm just so confused by, you know, quarterbacks and the NFL draft and how streaky things are. And I mean, 2 years ago, Tua was, you know, he's going to revolutionize the NFL when he gets there and he's only a freshman at Alabama and all this stuff. And now it's like, well, he had a serious injury. There's literally no one saying, let's wait and see. There are people who are ready to give him a shot. And I think in the right situation, it could work out. But I mean, it's possible. You know, there's got to be some probability that something could flare up and there could be concerns. And you just hope that the organization has the right pack up to make it happen.
I think I'm just excited to see a lefty quarterback back in the NFL.
Oh,
there hasn't been
I didn't
a lefty
know that. That's
quarterback
fun.
For like 3 years. So that's what I'm excited about. See where he goes, see how it ends up, if he can really revolutionize. Because if he doesn't, Trevor Lawrence will revolutionize the NFL next year. And then if he doesn't, Joe Burrow will do it this year anyway. You know, everyone's going to revolutionize the NFL. So, you know, that's what we need, a little more revolutionization, because we don't want no boring teams. See what happened 2 years ago with the Titans and last year, a little bit different. Speaking of the Titans, the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh.
This is a funny headline. They are, quote, focused on Tannehill and not Tom Brady, end quote. So that means they're kind of admitting that they were looking into Tom Brady. I'm kind of confused about this statement. I don't know why they had to put the second name in there. They could have just said, we're focused on re-signing Tannehill. But they had to go the extra mile and say, oh, and also we're not focused on signing Tom Brady. Smoke or what? What do you think?
I think this is a clear diversion tactic. I got two ticks. I want to get your thoughts on Will. First, obviously, they have to say they're focused on Tannehill to keep that kind of strain alive. But of course, they're looking at Tom Brady. I mean, him and Vrabel are FaceTiming, and there was some contentious talk on the around the NFL podcast about this. Wanted to get your take on it because I tend to agree with Greg on that pod. Is it weird for two dude friends to FaceTime? I can honestly say I only FaceTime my parents, and that is literally the videotape Kellen. So,
okay, first things first. To answer the first question about the FaceTiming. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I even, like, yesterday, just to say, I was about to play Fortnite with my brother, and I was going to FaceTime him to show, like, how I can just control everything with the hidden robot Amazon thing, Alexa. Don't want to say it out loud. But then I was like, nah, I'll just Snapchat it to him. Like, it was just something like that where I'm just like, nah, I don't want to go through all that. Like, I don't want to do that. That's weird. So, yeah, I guess so. I mean, the only people I ever FaceTime is my mom and Ashley, I guess. So, yeah, maybe we should FaceTime right now, Jeff. Break the cycle.
Break the cycle.
But yeah, that is a good point. That was a really funny point.
I was like, well, am I a terrible, like, should I be FaceTiming Will? Like, I haven't seen him in a while. It would be nice to see him. I don't think, you know, you've undergone, you know, major plastic surgery. I know what you look like, but, you know. So it's good to get the surroundings, see the gazebo.
True.
See the old gooch.
Yeah. So that was point one. What was take two? What was point two?
No, sorry. I just got too excited by the FaceTime bit that I had to jump right into that. I was just saying, you know, I think this, you know, framing it this way and including Tom Brady in the name is to try and present to Tannehill that to dispel some of those rumors that are out there, even if they are true, and just, you know, keep the conversation and the contract or the tag talks alive with Tannehill and his people. So I don't know. Like you said, the dominoes will fall, and hopefully we get some fast and furious action next week for next week's Free Agent Pod review.
Speaking of Fast and Furious, no, there's no Fast and Furious reference here. I think it is. I just think it's interesting to bring Tom Brady's name into it. I mean, yeah, are they looking? Are they looking outside? So, you know, it's okay to look, right? You can look, just don't touch. Now, if they're super interested in someone like Tannehill, though, I think they should just say, hey, you know, we're focused on bringing back the same team we had last year. You know what I mean? To say Tom Brady's name just kind of acknowledges the fact that maybe there's been some mutual interest. But it's going to be tough. Give me just one before we move on to this. Where do you think Tom Brady's going? Or is he staying? Or is he retiring? I don't know.
Staying.
We haven't even done any, like, predictions. I think. Dang, wow, way to think of content, Will. Okay, so you think Tom Brady's staying in New England. Okay.
What do you think?
I think so, too. Yeah. I think this is all just a big hullabaloo over nothing. But we'll have our takes next week, and if we don't, maybe we'll do actual predictions next week. Jeff, we did an overreaction last year, and that's part of the content machine this year. It's kind of just showing again, and no one really knows anything, right? No one knows anything, not even the insiders. The teams don't even know anything. Tom Brady himself tweeted that no one knows anything. So when we do the overreactions, when we see, oh, Odell to the Browns, they're going to the Super Bowl, we like to look back and just see, well, how crazy were we? Were we right? Were we wrong? And we're just going to go over a couple of these before, of course, we get to the big one, the Disney Songs March Madness overview. A little tweaking to that, tinkering and tweaking to that. But let's just go over this real quick. First one we had last year, Odell to the Browns. We didn't really write too much on this. I looked through it all. I kind of cleaned it up a little bit. It was more just we listed all the players they've gotten and just an overview of that. But we know both of us were very excited about this, about Odell going to the Browns, about the Browns kind of just redoing their whole offense and defense. Overreaction, I would say, for sure on that. But I wouldn't say it was the worst move. What do you think in terms of the Browns and maybe even the Giants losing Odell? Do you think it was kind of like a win-win, a neutral thing? Where do you see it on your side of things?
Well, I think it was, I mean, it's hard to say it was win-win. I guess it didn't necessarily kill the Giants because they still would have been pretty bad. It wasn't like with Odell they were going to make a playoff run, even though they did have a, you know, string a couple spicy streaks together there last season. The Browns, I think the hype was just too much, and it just goes to show that while the NBA is a very star-driven league, like how much of a team game the NFL is. And you can have three or four huge names, and if you don't have the supporting cast or other guys there, that it can crumble and go downhill real quick. You know, I think for the Browns, the positive note is there was definitely no, like, Odell Beckham's a headache. He's a nuisance in the locker room. Maybe his performance on the field wasn't as great, but it's hard to say how much of that was the play calling, how much of that was Baker Mayfield versus Odell Beckham. So I think there's definitely cause for optimism this next year. I mean, my thought is at least he does better than last year. Maybe he never returns to his superstar form that he had in New York, but I'm optimistic and I'm intrigued to see where he's gonna start falling off in fantasy leagues, because he's definitely a talented player.
Let's just move on to the next one. Speaking of talented players, this one, oof, I had a great comment on this. So Le'Veon goes to the Jets last year, and I wrote that since 2013 Le'Veon Bell forced the third most missed tackles in the NFL, and that's with not even playing in 2018. So he didn't play for a full year, and he still had the third most missed tackles in the NFL. Well, my comment is, did he even play last year? He had zero runs over 20 yards. I don't have every little stat on it. That's just the big one that I had. He just didn't seem to be a factor for this team, the Jets. Was he in shape? I would assume he was, but there's a difference between, you know, being in shape and being in football shape. And he kind of just ruined the running back landscape for everybody. Todd Gurley got his deal, and then Le'Veon's like, oh, well, let's do it. I can do it too. And he kind of boned himself, and he kind of ruined it for other running backs, showing that people can just kind of do it with anyone. Now, did the Steelers kind of benefit for run year? Yeah, but last year, James Conner kind of showed maybe he can't, you know, carry the whole team by himself for a full season. But Le'Veon Bell, I don't know what's going to happen. There were already talks that, you know, they were regretting the deal, and he was kind of on the chopping block or the shop. Oh my, I can't even talk today.
The shipping container at the dock.
There you go. He was somewhere in a box. That was the rumors. They got rid of their coach. Who is the Jets coach?
Gase.
It is still Gase? Oh, wow. I thought they got rid of him. Okay. So Gase is still...
Brought him back.
Wow. I don't even... I couldn't even tell you what's going on with the Jets. I don't know what's going to happen with this guy, and this just kind of shows when the talent changes teams that it's not always going to happen. Do you foresee anything good happening with Le'Veon Bell this year? Or at least anything, you know, remotely the same as last year?
I was just kind of thinking about, you know, the difference, I think, between a evaluating someone like Le'Veon Bell and Odell Beckham, obviously, besides the positions they play, is I think we've seen in the running back world with someone like David Johnson, where there's a possibility that even if you see the talent, they could just fall off a cliff and never return to that previous form. So I was just thinking, you know, Le'Veon's probably, and you tell me if I'm crazy, a late second round, early third round pick in fantasy. And, you know, there's obviously the upside to be a top five running back that we've seen before in the right situation and in the right mental state. But there's also a possibility he's all Powell off the street and starting him for a couple games.
Like, is he still on the team? Oh my God.
Oh, no, he's gone. He's gone. I don't even think he was in the league last year, but league year before, no, this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think definitely second rounder, possibly third rounder. It's just a risk that you're kind of willing to take in terms of fantasy, hoping for something a little bit bigger. Antonio Brown, this is the big one, Jeff. You're going to have to eat some snuff on this bad boy. A lot of quotes from you on this. I mean, it was more just it was funny, right? At the time, it was like, I can't believe the Steelers did this. The Raiders are also the team, of course, that would do this. A little bit of laughter being had on both sides. And when this first happened, of course, it was all positive. And you were definitely positive all over it with the Antonio Brown love. How do you feel this all went down? And, you know, give us your takes on what you felt at the time and how it is now.
Yeah, I think between Antonio Brown and the Le'Veon Bell holdout situations and back-to-back years, I'm intrigued to see what our big whiff this year is.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where I think I need to incorporate it in my calculus a little more, that I always believe that these individuals will do what's in their best interest, which is try and get the most money, and once they get the money, perform. But I don't necessarily take into account ego and how that plays into everything. And once they get the money, then, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a less incentive to perform at the high level. So I think that's, you know, that's a lesson learned. I did say that I think he will be fine and maybe even better than his days with the Steelers. And in his one game with the Patriots, he did have a decent game. I mean, okay. I think he got 100 yards, scored a touchdown. But, yeah, it was not great. Luckily, I guess the bad part was that it was all kind of shown on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And you had probably already drafted him. So you were kind of just watching it all unfold, and all like the cryo chamber, frozen feet, and then the helmet saga, and then the domestic violence saga. That is a hurricane of disaster if there ever would be. And I think it's going to be nearly impossible to replicate, but I'm going to hold my tongue that there's still potential for it to happen. I mean, guys are getting caught with 217 pounds of drugs. So, I mean, there's crazier things
can
happen.
So you think he has a shot to come back this year?
Oh, no, I think he's out of the league. I think he's done.
What the... Yeah, I'm so confused with what you're taking on that one.
I was just saying, I don't know if the situation this year or in the future that will mirror kind of how crazy Antonio Brown was last year.
But you never know, although they did stop, you know, they are saying that weed is not going to be punishment anymore, although 250 pounds is a little bit different. So those are the big ones. You loved that, and we'll see what happens, what me or you are going to whiff on this year. These smaller ones are kind of funny. So Mark Ingram went out from the Saints to the Ravens. I guess we never really commented on him going to the Ravens, but we've said Latavius, you know, he was in for the Saints. It actually worked out really well for the Saints. Really good replacement signing on there. Carlos Hyde going to the Chiefs. We wrote irrelevant to RB1 ? And this is before he got traded back to the Texans, which ruined both the teams that I drafted running backs on, Damian Williams and Duke Johnson, of course. Just RIP my fantasy drafts all
the time. But Duke Johnson was a thing?
Listen, he was a thing because the Lamar Miller got hurt and Duke John. Okay, you know what? I don't want to revisit all this. It was bad for me. One win out of the playoffs, as usual. I'm sure it's going to happen again this season. Jameson Crowder goes to the Jets, and you wrote, can't wait for the puff pieces, Sam Darnold safety blanket. And he was good. Jameson Crowder ended up being good.
He was
fantasy relevant.
Yep. Definitely a DFS little plug-and-play guy. That's
yeah, and the Bills. I mean, I think the Bills are real sneaky with Cole Beasley, John Brown, and they bolstered the rushing attack with .. Frank Gore. And I wrote, great success. They went bargain bin shopping.
Yeah, it worked out.
And everything worked out for them. John Brown became an immediate number one, at least fantasy-wise. You saw he was carrying people to the playoffs on that kind of, I don't want to say high-profile attack, but it kind of was. That offense was really dynamic, especially when Devin Singletary kind of took over. And Frank Gore was definitely startable for the first 4 or 5 weeks of that season just because of the injury to Devin Singletary. So the Bills, great job by them. And maybe these are the teams we kind of have to look for when it comes to, you know, overreacting. Just find the small ones, find the small players that kind of sign 3 days later, you know, week four or day four or day five in free agency. And Adam Humphreys, the Chris Wessling darling, you wrote, Adam, we hardly knew thee, and you were right on with that one. He was exiled to the land of irrelevance, the Tennessee Titans, although he did have like a game-winning touchdown one game. I forget against who. But...
Yeah.
There we go. I only kept one defensive note in here, and that was the 49ers got Quan Alexander and D Ford last year. And, well, definitely helped them because they went to the Super Bowl, had a top defense throughout the whole season. So that was not a very – that was a pretty proper reaction because people were picking them to have a good defense. It was just the offense that was with the question marks, Jeff. Woo!
Yeah. Woo! That's for certain. So some good, some bad. We whiffed on the big one, but some of these little ones we got, we were on target. So
yeah, I did write we did like an overview of some teams, and I just kept the two funny ones. So for the Jets, we wrote they got a new O-line, they got Bell, Crowder, Darnold in his second year, Anderson, Inunua, not terrible. And narrator, they actually were. Raiders, Brown, Carr, cool. Narrator, not cool. The feet were cool, though, and that's about it. That's what I got for those teams.
Oh, yeah.
But, Jeff, we're here for what the people want, and Greg was texting me. Greg was talking to me about the rankings and everything like that, and, you know, he gave us his hot takes, of course. So I went and I kind of tinkered a little bit with this Disney March Madness thing. So I have the official rankings on an Excel sheet. I only put the top couple seeds on the dock because we're not going to do the whole thing yet. Keep it for some prize. But I went through Spotify, I went through YouTube, I went through several, like, top 50 Disney songs websites that people were kind of doing themselves. I went to 17 Magazine for one of them. I mean, God, you know, that's what I had to do to kind of do the research. I was doing the work here, you know, on my days off. Found a couple songs that weren't even on the original March Madness sheet, at least that I couldn't see. I never saw the Tarzan song by Phil Collins. You'll Be in My Heart. Was that even on? Was that even on the Disney March Madness original play? I don't even know.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, that's a 164 million Spotify banger. So people love that song. And it's just that's a great song anyway. So that's a song that wasn't even on there. And I don't remember seeing Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas.
I believe Colors of the Wind was on there. I think it was like a 10 seed.
Oh my, unbelievable. Yeah. But I listened to that song too. I also listened
very
to some
underrated.
Of these songs. The only problem with Spotify was still some of the songs not on there. It was kind of weird. It'd be like grayed out. So I had to do my best judgments there and then go to YouTube, for that. So, with my new rankings here, I did 40 songs. I believe it was 40 or 41 songs. And that eliminates, you know, obviously we're not doing 64. So we're going to do a best of 32, but we have to get some play-in games. We have to do some playing games to get to those 32 seeds. So this is what we're going to do. We got Eye to Eye from A Goofy Movie going up against Two Worlds from Tarzan. By the way, I wrote Tarzan, Killing the Game. Tarzan original soundtrack on Spotify, every song has about 15 or more million plays. So I don't know what's going on with that soundtrack, but maybe that's something I need to check out on and listen to more of. Because apparently it's a hot commodity. So Eye to Eye from Goofy Movie vs. Two Worlds. The winner is going to play against, so this is the playing game for the number 32 seed. They're going to play Be Prepared for The Lion King. That's a solid song. Stand Out, another Goofy Movie song, going up against When She Loved Me, the Toy Story song. Oh, wait, no. When She Loved Me was, it was a Toy Story 2 song. We talked about that, the Jessie song. Gaston from Beauty and the Beast going up against When You Wish Upon a Star. And Mary Poppins banger, Spoonful of Sugar. See, that was not in the first one for sure. Going up against What's This, another song that was not in that, I don't believe. What's This from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Great song. What's This? What's This? There's Something in the Air. Oh, yeah. So those are our four matchups right here.
I didn't know if Mary Poppins, this is a weird line, right? Like, it's technically animated, but the whole thing isn't animated, so I didn't know if that's why they didn't.
I didn't either, but I just did Disney original songs. Disney original songs. I'm sure we
can
find,
fair.
You know, that's a couple fair. Bugaboos there. Because I'm sure, you never know, maybe they put an Aladdin version of, you know, a song, or, you know, Beauty and the Beast version of a live-action song. We don't know that. So, you know, this is our tourney, Jeff. This is our tourney. And the overall number one seeds, well, the overall number one seed is, like I said last week, it's Let It Go. 364 million
not even close.
Spotify plays. And I'm just going on outreach and cultural impact. Number two, the other number one seeds are How Far I'll Go from Moana, You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan, and I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan, rectifying the travesty of that being a 14 seed. That's what it was, right? A 14 seed?
Yeah. 14 or 13.
Just, that was unbelievable. It is rectified. And those will be...
How many plays did that one have?
154
million.
154 million. Yes. Yeah. Let It Go, 363. How Far I'll Go, 256. You'll Be in My Heart, 165. I'll Make a Man Out of You, and...
Yeah. Tell us all this time, 75 mil. Get out of here.
Both with 154 million. Or plays on Spotify. So those songs are hot. But right now, Jeff, we have to make some decisions. Two Goofy Movie songs, Beauty and the Beast, a couple songs I haven't heard of. We're going to bang these out real quick. So Eye to Eye versus Two Worlds, I think I know what we're going with here, just based on bias. But also, I don't really know the song Two Worlds. I know it's from Tarzan. That soundtrack, I guess, is a banger. But after just watching a Goofy Movie, that movie holds up really well. I was rocking out to these songs. I even asked Ashley. I was like, hey, who sings – I was like, do you know the R&B artist Tevin blah, blah, blah? She goes, oh, yeah, Tevin Campbell. I'm like, oh, of course. That's the guy who was the voice of Powerline. So she knows Tevin Campbell's greatest works, just not from a Goofy Movie. So Eye to Eye, wow. I'm picking. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm going Eye to Eye here. I was going to actually ask you to – you don't have to sing. Say a couple. Of the chorus maybe from Two Worlds so I could remember it, but it's only got 30 million plays on the old Spotify, so it's not even the best or even second best song on the Tarzan soundtrack, so I feel pretty confident going with Eye to Eye here. It is an absolute banger. Bring it back. Tevin Campbell, cousin of Tevin Coleman, is always what pops in my head, so we'll see how he does this year.
I was looking at the lyrics for Two Worlds, and I don't even know where there's somewhere is two worlds, one family, trust your heart, let fate decide to guide these lives we see.
Two worlds, one family. Yeah, it's
good. It? You got it?
It's not it's kind of a blast song.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, it's not great. It doesn't have a lot of pop to it. It's got a fine message, and I think it flows well in the the storyline, but it doesn't get a lot of spice for me.
All right, Stand Out from a Goofy Movie versus When She Loved Me. Toy Story, Jesse, Cowboy Girl, Jesse, Somber Song, Sarah McLachlan, I believe. Kind of reminds me of pets that need to be sheltered. What do you got?
Mm. Well, I'm going to Stand Out here. I mean, When She Loved Me is just fine. It's within the context of the movie, it's well placed, but Stand Out, oh man, come on. I mean, the lyrics are great. It's got a ton of pop.
It's
to
energy,
it.
Right? It's
love,
energy.
Love me some Stand Out.
I think
energy,
we're gonna find out when we get through this March Madness tourney is what's bringing the gusto? You know, what's bringing the pop? Because we don't want to be sad during these songs. You know what I mean? These are supposed to be some motivational songs, and you'll see that throughout this tournament. Number three, so Gaston versus When You Wish Upon a Star.
Mm-hmm.
When You Wish Upon a Star, only like a minute and 30 seconds long. Did not know that. So not a long song. Very slow building. Gaston, a little bit more pop. Right? That's a
no one pods like Gaston. No one bet like Gaston.
We have our winner, folks. If Jeff sings it, it wins. Although,
oh yeah,
the two worlds.
And it actually it teaches you something too, because there's a line in there that no one's as good as expectorating as Gaston, which is spit it. So you know, increase your vocabulary, get a banger.
Wait. No one is good as what?
No, he, in one point of the song, he goes, I'm especially good at expectorating.
Oh, yeah.
And that means spitting. So.
Ah, patooey.
Let me some gas.
I'm especially good at expectorating.
Patooey. Hit that spittoon.
10 points for Gaston. Oh, wow. All right. When I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs.
He's got a tough matchup, though, coming up against I Want to Be Like You. So that's a great song.
Let me just, this lyric. When I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs. Every morning to help me get large.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
And now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs. Okay, wow, all right. You kind of
coming down 60 eggs.
Wow, that's a lot of eggs though in the morning. All right, and the last one, Spoonful of Sugar from Mary Poppins versus What's This by Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm going to go with What's This. Holds a special place in my heart just because it's a Halloween/Christmas movie. And I really like that. It's definitely a high energy, energizing song to kind of get the movie going. Where you go? Oh,
this is tough. This is tough. I'm leaning. What's this? I think Spoonful of Sugar has like a, you know, a bit more staying power in the lexicon of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the song. Having not grown up in early 1900s England, I can't relate to taking a spoonful of sugar with any medicine.
Yes, yeah, true.
And furthermore, it doesn't really make sense within the broader context of Mary Poppins, because her thing was like, I bring magic to the scene. Why do I need, you know, some commodity of sugar to give medicine? I'll just make the medicine come alive, and then you'll become friends with it, and then you'll drink it. So I'm going, what's this? Like you said, I mean, the song has got like a, I mean, the rhythm, it's catchy. I mean, I feel like it could be, you know, a metal song if they wanted to just like transform it a little bit. It's got, it definitely plays into the whole, fits perfectly. And the Nightmare Before Christmas sets every skeleton get into it. I mean, again, another tough competitor going up against Bare Necessities, but I like What's This in the matchup.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that tough. I mean, we'll see when we get there, but I do like What's This. I think it, like we just kind of talked about, it kind of gets you going. It could be a metal song. It could be any kind of song. The sugar thing, I mean, I'm going to have to try that next time I have medicine, I guess. Kind of. Who eats raw sugar?
Yeah. And I think that's another problem with the Spoonful of Sugar is I literally only know that one line. The medicine
in
and
the
then
most
I sing it
way.
And I was like, that's the entire chorus, right?
In the most delightful way. We have to do some more research for the next round next week, because we're gonna really have to get our bearings straight when it comes to comparing songs to each other. We can't even nail the chorus of a song for this Disney March Madness. But there we go, our play-in games are now finished. We have our
Can I just say something real quick, Will?
Yeah, you can say
on the Spotify. Tell as old as time. 75 million plays, the number one over. I'll see. Get out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
5 times as many for Let It Go. 5X.
That is five. That dunk is dunk. Nearly 5X as much. Go the Distance has more.
Yeah.
79. Well,
Go the Distance is a bang.
So there you go. So it Beauty and the Beast. I mean, tell us all this time. We were right. We were right last week when it comes to knowing our Disney music and what's the most popular out of all of them. Jeff, I hope you have a delighted iced coffee bar, if that's really what it is today at T-Bell. I'm going to get my eyes checked today. I hope they don't blow a puff of air in my eye.
Ooh,
I'm very nervous about that. Other than that, the Shaq is back,
Don't like
starting
that. I
tomorrow,
love that
baby.
little thing.
Shaq is back,
Well,
starting tomorrow.
Good luck
Thanks
to you in the Shaq.
To the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast, no carbs, so I will not be eating much of that Shaq. Hopefully I don't get teased into doing it. Dropping some LBs for Miami, Jeff. You never know, you know. Although it is it's like 3 months away. But all right, man. Have a great day at work. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you. Peace out.